Hello. You're listening to The Jealous Wall with me, Emer Keating. Underground by R.M. Clarke. What I didn't know about the club was they had a deal with certain taxi drivers to bring the men there, even if they hadn't asked to come. Sometimes that meant that when they arrived into the bar and saw the girls waiting, their faces would blur in shock. But most of them would field the shock easily and, with Linda's encouragement, choose a stool to lean beside. I had a knack for predicting which girl a man would pick. There was a rota, however, and often the men ended up with who was left over at the bar if the others had already been chosen. We waited on the couches beside the toilets until the first girls had brought their guests to the club downstairs. There was a list, and when a girl went down, her name would be crossed off and the reserves called up one by one by Frank, who served the drinks and kept an eye on procedure. It had happened before that a man talking to one of the girls at the bar might spend most of the time looking over their shoulder at someone else. This caused problems. I had already been taken aside and given my first warning. I was to stop making eyes at the men when it was not my turn. More than once, a man had requested to take me down instead, and this had got me cornered in the bathroom more times than I enjoyed. It wasn't because of my beauty, Kate assured me. She conceded I was an Irish rose, but I had not the allure of Cherie, who had been a natural, the club's top earner. It was simply because I had a cat's instinct for the weak. But where was Cherie now, and why had she left? Kate reapplied the red to her mouth and scrunched up her hair roots. "Why do you keep asking that?" she said. When I didn't answer, she finished her drink and said she was going to get another, then left me in the dressing room to finish my nails in peace. My hair was in rollers, and while it set, I painted my toenails red. Bare nail was highly unpleasant to me. When I looked down and saw the white ridges and yellow underskin, I felt I was in danger of something. I had the sensation I was cartwheeling forwards and might never come to rest. It was quite essential I finished them, but if they did not hurry up and dry, I would be reprimanded for my lateness. Kate and I were the only Irish girls there, and this seemed to her a reasonable enough excuse to despise me. Also, she was from the north. I preferred the two South American girls, especially Maria, a Brazilian with a voluminous blonde weave who worked a full-time job as well as nights at the club. She had a young son called Max and a four-bedroom house in Finsbury. The other one was called Devi, which was short for a very complex name that was difficult for me to remember and pronounce. She was a small and compact specimen who I nicknamed the Colombian Firecracker, which made her laugh and roll back her long sheets of hair in pleasure. All the other girls were from different parts of Europe or from Russia, though none of the girls were British. We started late in the evening and I took the tube in from Highgate. I lived closer to Archway, but I left the flat earlier than necessary and walked up the hill. But before I could reach the station, I had to first pass under the bridge. It was an old iron bridge, glossy black, with spikes spinning around the railings. It was a favourite spot for views over London and suicides. The locals called it Suicide Bridge, and now so did I. I often thought when I was in bed, metres from the bridge itself, of what it might be like to witness someone falling from it voluntarily. A young man, perhaps, because it was usually a young man. Would it happen too quickly to catch, or would time draw out to allow the spectacle to be fully enjoyed by all who were there to watch it? It would, I imagined, be quite beautiful. A reckless bird diving low to the ground, wings flat against its back, failing to pull out of the dive at the right moment, or pulling out too late, or simply having no intention of pulling out at all, and hitting the ground and splintering in the way of a raindrop. But I had not yet the pleasure. Only of the aftermath, with its one-lane traffic and fire engines and tents.